Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study, Galatians chapter 1, we were taught that the Lord gives each Christian a position in the church. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
You see, the human element in our salvation is seen in Acts chapter 20, and verse 21, where in preaching, the apostle says under the very inspiration of the Holy Spirit, repeating his words of repentance towards God and faith and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so our human element is repentance and faith, not work. Not Jesus and, oh no, our faith is in Christ alone. And only Jesus can save. Do you realize that your faith does not save you? He said, wait a minute. I thought the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. That's right, it's through faith. But it's not faith that saves you. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let's imagine that you're about to die. But I have a drug that will save your life. And so that drug is placed in a hypodermic needle, and it's placed into your vein, to an artery, or whatever it may be it needs to go, and then the medication is shot into you. Now, the hypodermic needle of itself does not heal you. It's the medication. You see, the hypodermic needle, though, represents faith. You've got to have it to inject it. But it's Jesus Christ who saves. And I hope that's a help for you to understand. Jesus saves, as the song says. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Now, that takes us right there into verse 12. For he says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he was not led of man or taught by man after his salvation. Now, Paul is an apostle, and God gave the local church, pastors, teachers, and others. Now, if you don't have a Bible, please write down this so you can look it up for yourself. If you do have a Bible and you're following along, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. Now, you're in Galatians, so it's just the very next book. And so, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, we read this. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, a perfect man does not mean a sinless man, but does mean have the idea of a mature in the knowledge of God, a mature in their walk with God, a mature in their separation from the world and separation unto Christ. Now, having just read those verses, let me just kind of review that with you, because he said that he gave as gift to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, today, we don't have apostles because we know from the Word of God that apostles had to be alive and have seen Christ. And so your church can call people apostles, but they're not biblical apostles because They weren't alive 2,000 years ago. Now, but they were given for a reason. You see, the local church is the ordination of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that started the local church. And so he gave these things to the local church, and he says what they're for. And first of all, he said here, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, perfecting means to equip. And how are we equipped? Through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Now, I am responsible to labor in the Word and doctrine, and then to exposit it, or that is, to preach it and teach it to the congregation over which I am pastor, as well as on this radio program. So that's my responsibility. But it is the church member's responsibility to be in church. That's why you have a command that is very imperative in its presentation of not forsaking. That ing is on there is important. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is. But so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? Of the coming of the Lord. You know, a lot of people say, I have faith that the Lord is coming soon. Well, if you have faith that He's coming soon, that means you're in church. He said one of the evidences is a person who's faithful to church. Forsaking has the idea of they're there, they're not there. They're there, they're not there. And so he says, not forsaking the assembling. Now understand, when that was written, those people were meeting every day. It wasn't twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday. And a lot of churches now are only meeting once on Sunday. So this was an ongoing ministry. But you're responsible. So here you are, a member of a local church. You say, I'm not going Sunday night. I'm not going Wednesday night. I'm not going to Sunday school or whatever it is. You realize whatever is taught there, you're not there when you could be there. God will hold you responsible for that. You say, oh, if I'm not there, I don't hear it. Well, if you could be there, yeah, yes, you are responsible. You know, I found out that in college, that if I missed a class, just because I missed, that didn't mean I didn't have to take a test over the material that was covered there. I was responsible. Do you think that God is lackadaisical and doesn't care about what's preached or taught in the local church, that He would not call you into an account? Wake up. As they used to say where I come from, wake up and smell the coffee. So one of the things is for perfecting, that is, equipping you. For what? It is for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry. No, the word ministry here is a form of the same word, deacon. It refers to a ministration of the Christian community. It is, the word deacon comes from the word, Greek word diakonia, which actually has the idea of an errand runner. Now, I know a lot of people hold the office of deacon. Church across this country say, okay, your deacons are your errand runners. I think everybody would have a whole lot of problems with that. But that's what the word meant. Of course, back in the Bible day, that was a very important thing because that's how they got things around from church to church. And ministry was set up in various ways after that manner. But the idea is here of labor needed for others, for both individuals and the body of the local church. Now, in Acts chapter 6, they ordained deacons. Why? Because they needed to take care of the daily ministration. And the apostles, who were acting as the pastors of that early church in Jerusalem, rather than to forsake the study and the labor and the Word of God and prayer to go and serve tables, they set this up, and the deacons overlooked this as they made sure that it was fair across the board. Now, it's not just limited to that. This is a service for others. We have a bus ministry, and recently in our bus ministry, we had some small children whose father met a very tragic death and in a robbery of their house. And oh, what a terrible thing. But you know what? If those children aren't in church, somebody didn't go by and knock on their doors and seeking boys and girls to bring to church, they have no comforter. So it might be that. It might be 2 and 3 year olds. You've got classes for 2 and 3 year olds, and you know, there are people say, well, what can I teach a 2 or 3 year old? You know, let me teach adults, let me teach teenagers, let me teach a elementary class, but not 2 and 3 year olds. And yet, you're sometimes one of the first ones to teach them about God. He made everything. God is good. God is everlasting. God loves you. And so you can introduce them to the very basic concepts of God. But again, understand there are areas that are need that are there. And sometimes we're expecting one person to do it all. Now, we've got to learn that the church is not built on entertainment, recreation, programs, methods. I'm alarmed at how many churches actually do that, that they spend multitudes of dollars for methods and training in how to do certain things that the Bible tells us how to do. Now, you're not going to get crowns that have eternal value for depending on the flesh to accomplish the work of God. Because that's not God's view of church. His church is not built on fleshly power and worldly wisdom, but rather it's built on preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God in the power of His Holy Spirit and fulfilling of the Great Commission. Now, that doesn't have as many hoorays and all of that from the world, but it is God's way. And it might be just some church that has 50 people in it, but they're saved people and they've been taught and they're growing in the grace and knowledge of God. There might be more people in that church of 50 than there's a church of 5,000 that are actually saved or will not be, or have more people to be more than just saved so as by fire. So we need to understand that. Now, hopefully, you can know more of the Word and how to serve and to witness as a result of the teaching and the preaching of the Word. And so that's why preachers and teachers were given to the church to equip you for the work of ministry, but not just that, for the building up, that is the edifying of the body of the church, which is what the word edifying means. It's the build up. So you're equipped, then you minister together, as 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, that we are laborers together with God. And then the body is built up, that is, it's built in and strengthened in the Word of God, in right doctrine, that it might be a strong and true witness in this world. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.